T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Brad Young sitting in today with you, along with, of course, Ryan Wiggins. Hey, Ryan.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you again, sir.
You too.
Brad Range, thanks for being here.
Hi, how are you?
I always look at, like Brad, you're flying the plane. I'm just the guy that makes the announcements over the intercom.
That's a scary thought right there.
That's really all
I'm
doing.
If the pilot were talking for the whole three-hour flight.
Okay, yeah.
That's fair, right?
I'm just making the announcements. You know, we're hitting some turbulence. Free drinks are on the house. You know, those kind of announcements.
Let's do that.
That's what I'm doing. But Brad Range, you're flying the plane here. Let's just hope we don't crash in the next 3 hours. Hey, I'll be with you till 3 o'clock. And, you know, my law firm, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young. I get to play on the radio, and I'm having a great time doing it, especially here hanging out with all the cool kids on 97.1. You know, I was driving in, and there was some spitting snow. And when I watch the morning news programs, they always talk about snow as being, oh, it's terrible, it's awful. And every time it snows somewhere else and we don't get it, I'm like, I want to go out and play in the snow. Ryan, do you disagree with me on that?
Went through a phase where I did not ever want to see snow. But now with kids, I want to see snow every winter multiple times because it's so fun to either just watch them play or to go ahead and put on the ski suit and jump around with them. It's a renewed joy that I'm having in the last couple years.
How about you, Brad?
I love to play in the snow.
Love snow.
Not necessarily sledding, but like I've got a four-wheel drive truck, and I like to go out to the church parking lot and do donuts. So.
That's got to be fun. Yeah, I used to have an ATV when I was a kid, the snow is great. It's an unexpected blessing in the middle of a day. You don't expect it, and then boom, it comes. There's nothing better than when it's snowing. You got a fire in the fireplace, and that's just perfect.
It's true. This morning was that because I didn't know there was snow in the forecast
at all.
And waking up, and it was just kind of pretty, you know, looking. And there was just a dusting enough on the cars and the trees and stuff that it looked nice. The reverse can also be true, that if you know there's snow coming, and either it doesn't come or you get like what we had today, you go, this wasn't even worth talking. Why were we even talking about this?
Exactly. We got just, you know, a spitting of snow. And then, of course, the thing that always drives me crazy is when the schools start closing in an anticipatory fashion.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's in the forecast. We better close school. And then we get bupkis.
And then it's this.
It's nothing.
And you go, oh, glad you stayed home from school today. Glad they had to hire a babysitter.
Yeah, I got to tell you this story, though. When I was in high school, my job was working at the little radio station in my hometown. And a little town south of Mount Vernon over in Illinois called West Frankfort. So I'm working.
I know that town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the kind of town you don't stop it. You just keep going. So I'm working at this radio station. And, of course, this is before Al Gore invented the internet.
Oh, okay.
And so we were the only way. There's no TV station in this town, right? So the only way that you know if there's school tomorrow, the only absolute only way was to listen to the town radio station. So I'm working one night, and it starts snowing. And the protocol was that the superintendent would call and tell you whether or not there's school the next day. So as the snow is falling, this is actually a lesson in temptation.
The superintendent would call you at the radio station?
Call whoever's at the radio station to say, we're calling off school tomorrow.
Okay.
That was the protocol. So I'm sitting at the radio station, staring at the phone. The phone never rings. And all of a sudden, I had this temptation come over me that said, you know, if I go on the air right now and announce there's no school tomorrow, there's no school tomorrow. I mean, there would be no school tomorrow if I announced it tonight. The teachers would all be there, but not a single student would go to school tomorrow. And I felt that rush of power. You know, I have the power to cancel school. I would be like voted most popular in school because I could cancel school. And then I thought, nah, I'm not going to do that.
Brad,
so,
you're frightening me.
I know, but
because you're at a young age, apparently.
Yes.
You were still in school when you're doing this?
Oh, I was a junior. I was I was my junior year in high school.
You're describing the power of the media.
Which,
which in the last 2 years we've seen, if they decide something's a story,
it's a story. That's right.
If COVID's a story, if death is the top ticket headline, then that's going to be what everybody focuses on.
I know, but I would have been like the most popular guy in school for a day.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I get fired from the station, and then, you know, and so on and so on. So I chose wisely not to do that. But I will tell you, that temptation was mighty powerful.
Did you ever do anything that would have gotten you in trouble that you never told anybody there?
The only thing I ever did was, this was back with in the teletype days. This was in the 1980s, where stuff still came over teletype. And we were supposed to get the weather. The weather report came over the teletype. Well, we were supposed to do weather at a specific time. And so whenever the weather didn't come over the teletype, then I would have my eyewitness weather report, which was me looking out the window and making it up. Well, it looks like we've got mild temperatures today with partly cloudy skies. I mean, doesn't that describe like most every day, right? So I did but I always labeled it eyewitness weather.
I'll tell you a story. I don't know that I've ever told this story on air. I think I may have mentioned it to Brad and Annie off air within the last couple months. But I'll tell it just because I'm like, well, might as well.
Flag the tape.
When I was at Joy FM, because I was there for about 7 years, there's a lot of funny stories behind the scenes, but this is one of them. We would, at fundraiser time, because that's a non-commercial station, so once or twice a year.
I donate to Joy FM.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So we would do fundraisers. And, you know, it was the dollar a day thing. And you say the same thing, literally, over and over and over for a week. And you got to find creative ways to say it. Well, at some point, we switched the phone number because we were getting, I think originally we had maybe 5 to 10 phones. And you'd max that out in certain breaks. Mm-hmm. And so you wanted to make sure that if somebody wanted to call, they could call. So we had to change the phone number at some point in there, so that we could have 20 lines instead of 10, I think. So at that point, we had said the phone number so many darn times that it was hard to retrain your brain to say a new phone number.
Sure.
So for a whole year, all of us were really struggling to get that new phone number out. And this is right when I think we had switched to 99.1, because we were on smaller signals before that. So I mixed the numbers up once when I said it on air, and I said, okay, here's the number, and I said part of the old one and part of the new one. Well, apparently 4 or 5 people called that number.
Whoops.
It was a adult line.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No kidding.
That is real?
You thought you were going to call Joy FM.
And you got a
and
porn
you got
line.
A adult sex line. And I don't remember what the number I said. I don't remember any of it. I just remember getting the reports. Ryan, you gave a number that was a little inaccurate. So,
oh, my goodness.
There you go. There's a behind-the-scenes one.
That's Wow. But see, but that wasn't intentional.
No,
that
it wasn't.
It was an accident.
It absolutely was.
So it's an accident with a funny consequence. Yes. But it wasn't like you went on there to intentionally do that.
Well, here's what else is kind of fun. Like, in the years since, I've thought, do adult sex lines still exist? I didn't even know that was a thing anymore. Because you used to see in the 80s and 90s, if you stayed up late enough,
the commercials,
you know,
sure.
Are you lonely? So apparently a lot of people were lonely and calling those lines. But this is maybe 2010 or 11.
Wow.
I'm thinking, I can't even believe those things exist anymore.
Well, apparently you proved that they do.
Yeah,
you proved that they do. Well, the other epiphany that I had driving in this afternoon was as I'm driving in, and I will confess, I look at speed limits as suggestions. Okay? I do. I confess that. I'm sorry. But I look at them as suggestions, which I can choose to obey or not obey. So I'm driving in, and I got my cruise control set at about 75. So I'm driving down, and these two cars pass me. They had to at least be going 100 miles an hour, at least, because they flew past me, and I know I was doing 75. So it occurred to me, and I wanted to get your perspective on this, to show how subjective we are when we assess the things around us. When those guys passed me, I thought, oh, look, those two guys, they're maniacs, okay? But then when I was passing somebody who was doing the speed limit, I said to myself, that guy's a moron, okay? So I was judging the maniacs and the morons based upon the speed that I was traveling, even though I was speeding. But it was subjective because anyone driving faster than me was a maniac. Anyone driving slower than me was a moron. So isn't that, to me, that's interesting how we subjectively analyze based upon our own sense of morality, our own sense of rightness, our own sense of correctness, that somehow I think I was going 75, that must be the correct speed, even though the state says otherwise.
What was the speed limit?
Yeah, you know, it's always 60 on,
60
on Highway 40.
And you're going 75.
I'm going 75. That's a little fast. So, if you keep it under, you know, because I can get myself out of my own traffic ticket, so yeah. I don't worry too much about
that. Right.
I was going to say, now's a bad time to mention that we actually have a pretty strong St. Louis police following on the show.
I mean, I thought that I was going
75.
No,
Brad's above the law. He uses the media to control and use power, and he does whatever he wants because he's a lawyer.
This is true.
Yeah. No, that certainly doesn't happen in my household, I'll tell you that. That's certainly not the case. But what's interesting is how we subjectively scale others based upon our own sense of morality. I had this epiphany while I'm driving down the highway. So because even though I was exceeding the speed limit, says, Brad, you are doing it wrong. But in my mind, I'm doing just fine because this is where I'm comfortable.
I think that's fascinating because I do the same thing. I bet you do too, just knowing you, Brad. Well, talking to two Brads here today, but I'm pointing at this Brad who's behind the board.
Mr. Range.
Yeah, Mr. Range. Whenever I'm in the car, I always am, you know, how do I put this into life terms? Like stuff like I all the time for no reason, like you're just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've always thought, and this is probably 10 years ago I had this thought driving, but I continue to think it, that whoever is going the slowest, that's the speed that everybody's going. I mean, unless you have five lanes and everybody's going around you, if you have a couple cars that are going about the same speed, that's the speed that people are going. Therefore, I extrapolate, whoever has the restraint has the power. Come on.
Wow.
Somebody follow me.
Boom.
Right?
It's a mind explosion
that long
right there.
Silence was you guys' minds going
boom. Yeah.
But I apply that to life. Because if you have no restraint on your life, you go whatever, you blow with the wind, you go wherever you want, you have no control over yourself or anything else. But if you have restraint, if you're able to self-discipline, you have a ton of power over the way you live your life and, in a lot of senses, a lot of the people around you. Not intentionally, but, you know, by association.
So you're telling me if you were driving a Ferrari, Ryan Wiggins, you would not exceed the speed limit even though you were in a Ferrari?
Because I would have to have restraint to have power, and ultimately it's all about having power, Brett.
And that's, you know what? As fascinating as that is, it didn't answer the question.
Oh.
Sorry, I would like an answer to the question.
This great legal mind is coming out
I would
now.
Like the answer to the question.
I would probably go pretty fast.
Yeah, I know.
There's an awful lot of power in a V12.
Yeah,
so.
That's a different kind of power I would want to experience for myself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't think I could restrain myself in a Ferrari. Not a chance.
Not on the Autobahn.
Not a chance.
Well, the Autobahn, you don't have to.
Right.
Exactly. Because I'm just saying I would never break the law is what I'm saying, Brad.
Okay. Really?
Well, as long as I got your cell phone, I'm going to break it all the time now.
Okay. Well, listen, I'll give you the 10% family discount.
Oh, just that's like, terrific.
Just like I give all my relatives. You know, if my wife gets a speeding ticket, I tell her, honey, I'll represent you, but I can only knock 10% off the bill.
Wow, what a generous guy.
Because, you know, hey, I love my wife. I'm going to give her a 10% discount.
Of course.
You know, and I extend to you the exact
same courtesy.
You
have the
same
love for me as you have for your wife.
I love you like a brother, you know? 10% right off
10% right off the top for the big guy.
How easy is that? It's great. 10% tithe, you know, 10% for you. That's the way we'll take care of it. Hey, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk some about Biden's pick for the Supreme Court, who I think that's going to be, why this is happening now, and the biggest problem with Biden's promise during the campaign. Brad Young sitting in for Annie Fry today, 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Listening to The Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
Hey, Brad Young in for Annie Fry today, who should be back on Monday. But, of course, we heard the announcement yesterday, although the announcement actually wasn't made until today, that Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is going to be stepping down from the court. Now, there's been immense pressure on him for the better part of since the beginning of the Biden administration to retire. In fact, I don't know if you guys saw this, but a company has been hiring one of these trucks that are driving billboards to park out in front of the Supreme Court that said Breyer retire. And they've been parking it out there when the court's in session.
Wow.
To try to influence, like he comes in the front door. I mean, I don't know really who they were intending to.
Where does he come in if he doesn't come in the front door?
Oh, they've got secret doors in and out.
Oh,
the
secret
court.
Passages.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
And then they've got in the basement of the Supreme Court, following up on your comments before the break, they've got rooms in the basement where they would have to, in the 70s, watch porn movies to see.
No.
I am not making this up. Where they would have to watch to see whether they violated community standards when there was a whole series of cases in the 70s about whether porn movies violated community standards and could be banned under the First Amendment.
What?
Wow.
What was the quote from that?
The quote was Justice Powell, who said, "I cannot define pornography, but I know it when I see it." And that was the famous line that came out of the decision from Justice
I guess the
Powell.
Decision was that they wouldn't regulate it at all.
Some were stricken initially based upon an application of community standards. So now that community standards rationale has disappeared in the current era of we've got global communications. So the community standards in Atlanta compared to St. Louis are irrelevant because we're all basically have the same community standards because of the proliferation of media. But it's interesting that they would have to watch those movies in the basement I don't know if they were called.
Is that why they took those cases?
Now that I can't comment on. And I don't know if they were actually called the line that you gave the number for. I have no idea whether they called that or not.
Hey, fellas, got another one of these cases. You want to take it?
Got it. Yeah. So I think that's interesting. But with regard to yesterday, you know, it was leaked by the Biden administration. Mm-hmm. Because Breyer wanted to make that announcement, and it was reported widely today that he was upset that someone from the Biden administration leaked that information. But, you know, it's not hard to see why. I mean, what better way to get the bad polls and the bad press out of the headlines for Biden than to, A, announce I'm getting a Supreme Court pick, and B, oh, we may be going to war in Europe. You know, both of those things wipe the bad news off of the front pages.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, that's he's been trying to get the narrative back ever since they lost the OSHA case, because it's just been bad news after bad news. So I don't know that this does that, because it's just another thing. I guess it riles up your base, makes them happy.
Sure.
So,
well, the headline of the Post-Dispatch today was Stephen Breyer to retire.
Yep.
And so it does. It gets the bad news off the headlines for at least a little while.
Mm-hmm. I'll
tell you this, though. It is not going to help in the midterms.
I don't think so.
Because if they nominate somebody who's not just not a moderate, but somebody who's even barely left of center, that is going to rile up the opposite base, as in the Republican base, which is already polling at historic highs. So I, in their best interest, I would guess that they would try to do this relatively quickly, because the closer to midterms it is, the worse it is for them.
Worse it gets. So it can move. We as we saw with the Amy Coney Barrett nomination, these things can move rather quickly. But by all accounts, and this was my assessment as soon as Biden was elected, by all accounts, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson will probably be the pick. Now, one of the people on the short list is actually a proponent of the defund the police movement. Her last name is Eiffel. I forgot her first name, but I just don't think. Yeah, I just don't think she's going to get the nod for the exact reason, Ryan, that you just articulated. Because if she is a defund the police advocate, that's not what the Dems need as a headline going into the midterms.
Right, and that's also a tough sell to those Democrats that would be on the Judiciary Committee that are going to be in a tight race. They don't want to have to vote for this person.
I mean, Manchin and Sinema come to mind, but is there anybody else that could object to this? Do you think they will?
No, well, if it was someone who was advocating to defund the police, yes, I do think that. Mm-hmm. If it's someone, and at least from Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, I haven't seen anything in her background that would be a lightning rod. Now, as we all know, things are going to come up between now and then, because now the real digging begins. If I were on the Senate Judiciary Committee, my first question for whoever the nominee is would be this: do you like beer?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Make the comparison.
Do you like beer?
For sure.
You know, that would be my first question.
You ever been to a high school party?
Have you ever been to a high school party with beer? Have you ever?
Because we have a witness here who says that they saw you at a party once.
Well, it's funny. I saw a headline on the, I think it was on Babylon Bee yesterday, where they said, I was assaulted by the Supreme Court nominee, whoever she may be.
I saw that too. Yeah. I don't know who it is yet.
I don't know who it is.
But they sexually assaulted me.
Whoever it is, they assaulted me. I don't know who it is.
And I'm also afraid of flying, so don't try to bring me in to testify about it.
But you know what's crazy is that by making this promise, by Biden saying, I promise to nominate a black woman to be on the Supreme Court, you're automatically excluding, by race and gender, dozens and dozens and dozens of people who would be legitimate candidates for that role, for that office. You're just saying, I can't even consider you because of your race and gender. And to me, that's outrageous that you would take that position.
Could somebody legally make a discrimination case?
No, impossible, because that's solely at the discretion of the president. So, but what's interesting is the Supreme Court in 1978 issued a decision in the case of University of California versus Bakke, which was the first discrimination in admissions case that came before the Supreme Court. And we're going to talk about that as the show unfolds today as well, because the current Supreme Court has decided to hear the Harvard discrimination case. But going back to UC versus Bakke, in that case, the Supreme Court held that it is unconstitutional to set a quota as the basis for admissions. But didn't Biden do the exact same thing by saying we have to have a black woman? Now, it wouldn't bother me at all. In fact, I would welcome having a black woman on the Supreme Court for her perspectives, for her different life experiences, maybe how she views the law differently. That wouldn't bother me. What bothers me is you've excluded everyone else from consideration.
Well, we said this yesterday or the day before. No, it was yesterday because the news just broke yesterday. That the left doesn't actually care about race and gender. They care about ideology. Because
correct.
If they just cared about gender, they would have said, great, Clarence Thomas, you are diversifying the bench. That's great.
Right.
Or Amy Coney Barrett, you too. You are a female, and we have only had, what, four female justices in the history of the United States? We welcome you. They mm-hmm. don't do that. It's
they
all
don't.
About ideology.
It's all about ideology. And forever, I mean, let's just assume for the moment that it is Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson who gets the nomination, just for discussion purposes. If she does get on the bench, at least to some extent, everything she does for her entire career is stigmatized, because someone can easily say she was only there because she fit the racial profile that Biden had, the racial and gender profile to fill that position. And I wouldn't want her to be stigmatized by saying, well, she's only there because of her race and gender. I would rather people say she's there because of her intellect. She's there for her legal acumen. She's there for her ability to process the law and apply it to facts, instead of saying she's there because she's a black woman. And so I'm afraid she's going to be forever stigmatized. I mean, look at this. Last time Biden did this was for vice president, when he said, I will pick a woman vice president. And when he picked Kamala Harris, I mean, she's eminently qualified for the job, but only, I think, as far as her gender.
Well, she's qualified on paper.
She's qualified because she's a woman. But if you look at her, what she's done, how she treats her subordinates, how she deals with issues with dealing with other representatives, she's accomplished nothing. In fact, she did an interview with Savannah Guthrie last week. I don't know if anybody saw that.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most cringeworthy interview. I mean, it took me back. Do you remember when Ross Perot was in a, I don't, this is before your guy's time. But
no, I remember Ross Perot.
Ross Perot, when he was running for president, and he was trying to debate Al Gore on Larry King Live. And they were on there, and Al Gore kept interrupting him, and Ross Perot kept saying, will you let me finish? Will you
yeah.
let me finish? Will you let me finish?
I mean, we all remember that because of Dana Carvey.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Well, at least three times during this interview where Kamala Harris kept interrupting Savannah Guthrie and saying, do you want me to answer the question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want? And it was just cringeworthy. It was like, oh, just please, just stop. It's a car wreck and I just can't look any longer.
Yeah. Everything else aside, she just doesn't have a political career ahead of her. And she's gotten really far. I mean, I'll give her that. You get the vice president, you've gotten very far. But this is Biden doing the same thing on the Supreme Court.
Yes.
You're inviting criticism because everybody knows that you said, I'm going to pick somebody based on their race and their gender. And then you get Kamala Harris, who nobody likes. I mean, usually the vice president pulls ahead of the president because they're not in the limelight so much.
Right.
She pulls about equal to lower than him, and he's way down.
Yep.
That's not good, and that's what he's setting himself up for here.
No, and that's why when I was chatting with Mark Reardon yesterday on this topic, I mentioned that I see, even though her name is being thrown around as a possible pick to the Supreme Court, I promise you that is not going to happen, because I don't think she could get the votes. Even in a lockstep, I don't think she would have the votes.
Yeah, I agree.
She couldn't get the votes. And of course, at this point, the most important thing is getting the votes. To get someone on the bench.
Can you imagine what that hearing would look like?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, legally, too, she would have to vote for herself.
Well, you know, it's right. It's funny. Brad Range and I were talking about this off air before the show started, and I don't know that she could. I mean, I think she could. I don't think there's any rules that would prevent it, but it would certainly, how disparaging would that be that the only reason you're on the Supreme Court is because you voted for yourself?
No kidding. How weird. Well, I mean, if she couldn't.
But it couldn't happen.
Would it fall to the Speaker of the House then to vote?
No, that couldn't happen under the Constitution.
I mean, I don't know what it happens.
She'd have to resign do an instant resignation and have the vice president appointed. I mean, you
the next vice president.
You'd have to.
Well, now, yeah, and from a political standpoint, imagine having that be your Supreme Court win.
Well, and,
yeah.
I mean, talk about a mess. And we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, I don't know that I buy this. I'm not saying this is going to happen. This is not a prediction. But I'm going to outline a way that Mitch McConnell could block any nominee that the president appoints to the Supreme Court because of procedural rules. So I'm going to go through those with you after this break. Brad Young sitting in for Annie Fry. We'll be right back.
Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Daddy around before you tore off in his car. Hey, y'all running these.
Gotta tell you, my sister just texted me about mocking my hometown.
Oh, were you mocking it just for being a drive-thru?
Yeah, I said something disparaging about my hometown. I just got a text from my sister criticizing me for that. But she did say, thanks for not getting fired from the radio station and making the false announcement. So I got 50-50 on that deal. But no, as I mentioned before the break, you know, Mitch McConnell is a master of the Senate rules. He truly is. And I'm going to try to go through this in as easy a way as possible without getting bogged down with details on the procedural rules. But essentially how it works is this. You remember that the Democrats changed the rules several years ago that for picks to the Supreme Court, you don't have to have 60 votes. You just have to have a simple majority.
Well, wasn't it Harry Reid changed it for all other judges other than the Supreme
Court?
Right,
and then the Republicans made it to the Supreme Court. Right. So in this instance, though, before a pick can get to the floor to be voted, it has to be voted out of committee. And last year, because of some swapping, some deal-making between Schumer and Mitch McConnell in the Senate, McConnell swung a deal to allow there to be 50-50 Republican-Democrats on the Judiciary Committee. Even though because there's a Democrat, typically you would have a majority of Democrats because the Democrats control the Senate. But he cut a deal with Schumer in exchange for something else to allow there to be a 50-50 representation on the Judiciary Committee.
Just that committee?
Just that committee.
Okay.
And he did that last year, February of last year. So when you look at the Senate rules, in order to go to the floor to be voted, it has to receive a majority of the Senate Judiciary Committee votes.
Holy smokes.
Okay. And so follow me here. So if it goes 11, because there's 22 people on the Judiciary Committee. So if it goes 11-11, a tie, it doesn't go to the floor. Now, there's another procedure.
This is fascinating.
You haven't heard about this?
No.
Okay. I found this. I researched this yesterday. So you can still get the nominee to the floor by a different rule in a procedure, but doing so requires a 60 vote of the Senate to bring up the person to override the vote of the committee. It takes 60 votes in the Senate. So my point is, I'm not saying that Mitch McConnell's going to do this. This is not a prediction. But what I'm asserting is that if the nominee is such that is not a moderate, is not even, we all know it's going to be left. That's okay. That's the consequence of an election. But if the nominee turns out to be too extreme and Mitch McConnell can deploy these procedures, he can effectively block the nomination, even though the Democrats have a technical majority in the Senate.
Now let me ask you some questions about this, because I love this kind of stuff, regardless of whose side it's on. I mean, this one's giving me the giggles just because of who's at stake here. But is Mitch McConnell on the Judiciary Committee?
No.
So could the Judiciary Committee without Mitch McConnell decide to do this?
Well, it would. They don't do anything without discussing it with Mitch McConnell.
So ultimately, he's just, because he's in charge, he gives the blessing and...
Exactly.
Okay.
But if he instructed all 11 Republican members of the Judiciary Committee to vote against the nominee, and all 11 Democrats vote for the nominee, it's a tie. It cannot proceed to the floor as a nominee. What happens then is that Chuck Schumer, as the head of the Senate, would have to come and order it to be move to the floor for debate.
Okay.
But once he does that, it's no longer as a nominee because well, in this instance, we know it's going to be a she. She can only be classified as a nominee if she gets the support of the Judiciary Committee.
Why would Mitch McConnell make this deal for a 50-50 Judiciary Committee except for this to happen?
That's what I'm trying to get at. Mitch McConnell's playing 3D chess in the Senate. So he anticipated at some point Biden's going to want a nominee, and I want to have a card in my back pocket to play, and so I'll cut a deal with Chuck Schumer to give me 50-50 representation on the Judiciary Committee so I have an option in my back pocket in the event I want to block another nomination.
Now, but do you, Attorney Brad Young, believe that Mitch McConnell will not use that card?
I think he would only use that card because obviously— Look at the blowback that came whenever Merrick Garland wasn't allowed to be voted on. Okay, there was a lot of blowback from that. Now, in retrospect, we know that we as a nation dodged the bullet. Okay, yeah. Because we've seen what he's doing as the Attorney General, and he's awful. So we really dodged the bullet on that one. But if he just played this card for any nominee, I think the blowback would be immense, even going into the midterm elections.
Man, I almost think now, that he's made a case in his past now, and over the last 4 or 5 years especially, that he doesn't care about the blowback from these kind of things.
Well, that's true. But if he does this on someone that doesn't have objectively grounds to dispute their legitimacy and their entitlement to be on the Supreme Court, he will play this card. But if someone is an otherwise qualified nominee, you just don't like their politics, I don't think that card would be well played.
Man, but couldn't he play it 100% of the time, because, regardless of the nominee?
That's true. Because here's what
we don't care.
Here's what could happen, though. Here's easily what could happen. Now, listen to this scenario. Chuck Schumer said he wants to have this nominee voted on by summer. If McConnell plays this procedural card, prevents, and let's just for discussion purposes say that it's Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, and prevents her from going to the Supreme Court. At this point, then, Biden would have to come up with yet another nominee. Well, we're already into summer. If this drags into the midterm elections and a new Senate would be Republican-controlled, then that would block anyone other than a true centrist from coming onto the Supreme Court. Now, that may be his plan. We don't know. I mean, Mitch, it's not like he called me and told me about this. So I'm just laying out the idea here that just because there is a technical majority in the Senate, when you count Kamala Harris, that doesn't mean the Republicans don't have options to block a nominee who would be ostensibly objectionable.
Man, that's fascinating.
They're going to write books about Mitch McConnell and his
just with the judiciary.
Yeah, the way he handled it, it's masterful.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like it.
You know, people make fun of him because he looks like a turtle, and they make fun of him because he doesn't speak particularly well. But the guy's a genius.
Yes.
Well, with this stuff, he is. Because some of the budget stuff, I'm like, what in the world are you thinking, man? But with this, he's been unbelievable. Because if he really did plan that. and the key is, will he use it? Mm-hmm. Because if he doesn't, then we'll know, well, he didn't really have the stones to really go for it.
Well, the thing about him, though, is if you watched how he handled the judiciary when Trump was nominating, any time there was an opportunity for him to negotiate to get more judges through, he did it. And I think this is just kind of like, I don't want to use the word passion project, but this is one of the things that is incredibly important to him.
Yeah. And I'll say this, when I think I was at Holiday World in Indiana.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was. We didn't just find ourselves there.
Oh, we had a flat tire and we just walked in.
Hey, look, it's Santa.
What? I don't know. Santa Claus, Indiana? This is not even on the highway. No, we were there for a weekend. I think this was September of 2020. When we found out that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had died.
Mm-hmm.
And because I remember standing in my little like condo thing and reading and just, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, you know? And then what's Mitch McConnell going to do? Because I was scouring the internet for, does anybody know? And then he, within I think a day, came out after she had died and said, we will nominate someone right now.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure, I would have bet my entire savings that he wouldn't have done that. And he did it. So with this, I'm thinking, I'm on your side kind of where I'm going, I don't know, is he really gonna see this thing through? But everything that he's done would suggest that he will, especially if he's the one that set this up.
I just can see that there would be a possibility, for example, if the candidate isn't overtly objectionable, I could see there being a political blowback from this. Mm-hmm. He may not care. He may move forward with it. But I can promise you, if you get a candidate who's got who has a history of showing just an overt bias against the Constitution, against the police, against ideals and values that Republicans value, this card will be played. Now, one of the things, again, about Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is, and I tried to look up the exact numbers, so I can't say she's the most, but she is one of the most overturned judges in the D.C. Circuit Court.
Of course.
Okay? So from a legal acumen perspective, from a judicial performance mm-hmm. perspective, you could say if she's been overturned and once was unanimously, the D.C. Court of Appeals, and it was a case involving Trump, where the question was whether or not Trump could eliminate some, I'm forgetting the details now, eliminating some regulations dealing with individuals who worked for the labor union within the government. And he was wanting to eliminate positions. And she ruled against President Trump, not surprisingly. And when it went up to the D.C. Court of Appeals, they unanimously found that this was something that could only be decided by the National Labor Relations Board, and there was no judicial case of any kind, and they unanimously overturned her decision. So she's one of the most overturned judges. So will this come out during the course of the nomination hearings? Absolutely it will. And you're going to see right now people are poring over every word she's ever written, every article she's ever authored. She was the she was on the Harvard Law Review. So every one of those articles that were published when she was on the Harvard Law Review are going to be analyzed word for word. You know, there are just teams of people going through that. So through that microscopic examination, if things come out that are just blatantly objectionable, I do think Mitch McConnell will play this procedural maneuver in order to block the nomination.
And assuming Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden would know that he has that card to play, you're saying, I would agree with this, that if he uses that and says, remember, I have this, that we would probably not see somebody who's far left.
Right. And that's part of my reasoning for saying Kamala Harris, not a chance. That's for part of my reasoning saying Eiffel, and I'm sorry, I forgot her first name, but she's the one who is a big advocate of defund the police. She's not even going to be seriously considered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because if someone comes out and says, yes, I support defunding the police, that's a hill to fight for
mm-hmm.
and to die on from Mitch McConnell's perspective. And he would block that nomination and say, I'm blocking this nomination for police officers everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm blocking this nomination to keep you safe in your homes because this candidate wants to defund the police. That sells.
Boy,
okay?
be really interested to see, because this is the first I'm hearing this. So,
well, I haven't heard about it anywhere. I just researched it and found the rules.
Well, but that's why it's great to have you on. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that if this is something that's going to be used, mm-hmm. we're all going to know about it soon.
Oh, sure.
But the fact that you've already found this, because I mean, this would have taken a couple weeks to really catch up, right? But gosh, having your legal acumen explain it too. Very valuable. Podcast it if you missed it.
I know, but listen, right now, if you're listening to the Annie Fry Show, you're getting your money's worth right now, folks.
Darn right.
You know, it costs nothing to hear it, and you are getting your money's worth. I promise you. So coming up next hour, we're going to be talking to Tyrus. We're going to be chatting more with Ryan Wiggins, hopefully hearing some Ryan Wiggins America in the next hour. Brad Young sitting in for Annie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 971talk.com. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.